1 Samuel chapter 3. Did you find it yet? Well, you're ahead of me. All right, I found it now, finally. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read the first 10 verses here of chapter 3, and then we'll go from there. Praise God. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And so he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Amen. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." I want to talk to you this morning about hearing God when He speaks. Amen. Hearing God when He speaks. Notice it says, as we look up again at the verses that we just read, it says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. God was rarely speaking to His people. I thought about that as I read that, and I wondered why. Why was the word of the Lord rare? Why was God rarely speaking to His people in those days? And the first thought that came to my mind was probably because they had stopped listening and stopped obeying. You ever been like parents? Have you ever been like that? Can you identify? All right, I'm just going to stop talking then, if you're not going to listen. A few weeks ago, I was driving the van home on Wednesday night. On Wednesday nights, we bring a lot of kids in here for church and go through a couple of different neighborhoods, and we fill the van up at least one time. Sometimes it's a van load plus. And so that's a 15-passenger van, so we bring a lot of kids in. And so I was taking the first load home one evening after Wednesday night service. And, you know, I think Pastor Carl had, in the Super Kid service that night, he must have given them all energy. Did y'all pass along some energy drinks? They must have all had shots of energy drinks. And anyway, they were just bouncing off the walls in that van. And one of the little girls sitting up front said, "Pastor David, they're saying bad words in the back of the van." And so I was trying to get their attention, and you know, that just got louder and louder and louder. And so finally I said, "All right, you know, I just won't say anything." And so finally I had to stop and get gas in the van. So I got in, I said, "All right, now listen." I said, "Guys, it's a privilege to get to come to church." And so I explained that to them, but for a while, I just gave up trying to say anything. I would say, "Guys, hey, guys," and it just got louder and louder. "Hey, guys." And so I just said, "All right, I'll just give up." I wonder if that's the way it was back in Israel in that day, that not only were they saying bad words and doing bad things and disobeying God, to where finally God said, "All right, they're not going to listen. I just give up for right now." Not forever, but for a season. If that's the way they want to go, I'll just let them go their way. You know, that's a sad place to be in. Let's not get that way with God. Amen? Amen? I don't want God to stop talking to me because I don't listen to Him or obey Him when He has talked to me. Amen? Amen. And so maybe they'd stop listening. It says there was no, also it says there was no widespread revelation. Revelation also means vision. People were not having visions. And when a vision is God, you know, there's two different ways to to define vision, you know, we talk about the vision of the church or the vision of this ministry, or even, you know, businesses have a vision statement or whatever. I'm not talking about that kind of vision. We're talking about God supernaturally showing you things. We're talking about God opening our eyes to where we see into the realm of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God grants visions, but it wasn't happening in that day. God wasn't speaking, and God wasn't showing people things in the realm of the Spirit. And so, as we read this account here, you know, when Samuel, as he's the young boy, you know, he had been, his mother had prayed for a son, and God had answered her prayer, and she said, you know, she had prayed, "Lord, if you give me a son, I'll dedicate him to you." And she did just that when he was just a young boy. When she had weaned him, she brought him to the priest, and he said, "This boy belongs to God. He's going to serve God." And so he was serving there in the temple and training under Eli to minister and to serve God. And so he's laying down one night, and the Lord calls him, and he says, "Samuel." Sam, I thought about that too. Do you know God knows your name?
Yes.
He didn't just say, "Hey, kid. Hey, you over there." He said, "Samuel." You know, the Lord knows your name.
Amen.
He knows your name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And so Samuel, at first, Samuel didn't recognize the voice of the Lord, did he? He thought Eli was calling him. And so he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am." So this voice was audible to Samuel. I don't know if it was audible to Eli, but it was so strong, God speaking to Samuel, that it was audible to him. And so finally, of course, Eli recognized this is the Lord speaking. And so he told him what to do. "Okay, Samuel, the next time if you hear the Lord call your name, then you respond this way. Speak, for your servant hears." The Message Bible says it this way, that Samuel answered when God did speak his name that last time. He said, "Speak, I'm your servant, ready to listen." Praise God.
Amen.
You know, that ought to be our heart. That ought to be our attitude. That ought to be the way that we approach hearing God. We ought to say, like Samuel said, "Speak. I'm your servant, and I'm ready to listen."
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So, you know, I think one of the most important things, and this is why I wanted to preach this today with the super kids and the youth out, I think one of the most important things that we can learn in life is to hear God and to recognize when He's speaking to us. How important is that? How important is that to... You know, I believe God wants to guide our lives. You know, I believe God wants to lead us into blessing and peace and prosperity and success in every area of our lives. But we have to hear Him to be able to follow that, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And so I believe He wants to. You know, there's a lot of things that we read in the Scripture, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit. General instructions for all of us. But, you know, there's a lot of specific things that we need to, decisions we need to make, choices we need to make about our lives. And we need to hear God, because I believe God's interested in guiding, though. I don't believe He sits back and says, "Well, whatever they want to do." Now, sometimes, you know, it's not that important. You know, I didn't consult Him about what color socks to put on this. So I just wanted to get some that matched, you know. So I didn't spend a lot of time praying, "Lord, what color socks do you want me to wear?" You know, He would have said, "I don't care what color socks you wear. Just wear some that match. And by the way, your wife's going to wear a new green dress today." Maybe if I'd have listened to Him, He would have told me that. I don't know. Hallelujah. Can't get off that subject this morning for some reason. Just keep being drawn back to that. But here's some things, though. First of all, in hearing God when He speaks, how many want to hear God when He's speaking to you?
Amen.
Well, here's some things we need to do. First of all, this: understand and accept and expect that God wants to speak to you.
Yeah.
Amen. You have to expect, you know, that God wants to speak to you. Not just to us. Oh, yeah, God can speak to... No, you. He wants to speak to you. You know, it's not just, "Oh, yeah, God loves us. God so loved..." No, God loves you. "Oh, yeah, God wants to bless us." No, God wants to bless you.
Amen.
Make it personal. God wants to speak to me. Amen. Do you believe that? Praise God. So expect that God wants to speak to you. Amen. Many people never expect God to speak to them, and so He doesn't, because they don't expect it. No, certainly He can invade people's lives through the prayers of others, and we know wonderful testimonies of that. I like what in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul said this. He said, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led." The Corinthians, before Paul came and preached the gospel to them, they were worshiping dumb idols. And the idols were dumb. Yes, they were stupid dumb. But he's referring to they were dumb idols in that they couldn't speak. He said, "You guys used to worship idols, false gods, and they couldn't speak at all. But you just went right on worshiping them." God's Word translation says it this way: "You know that when you were unbelievers, every time you were led to worship false gods, you were worshiping gods who couldn't even speak." I like this. The Bible in Basic English says it this way: "You are conscious that when you were Gentiles, in whatever way you were guided, you went after images without voice or power." Well, I've got good news for you today. The true and living God, the God we serve, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is not without voice and He's not without power. Hallelujah. He has both. Amen. Hallelujah. He has power and He has a voice. Amen. Our God is the God who speaks to us. He said, "You used to worship idols and they couldn't speak. Now you've come in contact with and you're connected with the living God. In Corinthians, I'm telling you, He can speak to you and He will speak to you." Amen? We serve a God who speaks. We serve a God who wants to speak to us. But how do we know? How do we know? How can we hear God? And how does He speak? And how do we know it's Him speaking to us? That's the question, isn't it? That's what we need to be able to understand, isn't it? Yes. So here's the thing. This is the second point today. Number one, expect God to speak to you. Number two, understand and know that God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through His Word. That's the number one way He speaks to us is through His Word. Well, Pastor, I thought you were going to tell me how He can speak to my heart about, well, yes, I'm going to get there, but if you miss this, you'll never get to that. If you want to know, you know, whether or not you're to live here or move there or take this job or marry this person, you'll never hear God saying that until you hear Him speak to you through His Word. Right. Amen. That's where it starts. That's how you learn His voice. Amen. That's how you learn to recognize the voice of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This is out of God's Word translation. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors at many different times and in many different ways through the prophets. In these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son." So God has spoken to us how? Through His Son. Through His Son. That's Jesus. Jesus is the living Word. In John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And verse 14 of John 1 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So Jesus is the living Word of God. Jesus and the Word are one. Amen? And so what you hear, what you see Jesus doing, that's God at work. Jesus said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." What you hear Jesus saying, that's God speaking. Right? But not just Jesus, but the entire Bible is God speaking. The entire written Word of God is God speaking to us. And that's how we learn His voice. That's how you learn to recognize what He sounds like, because His voice is speaking in the written Word. When you read and you study the written Word of God, you're hearing the voice of God and you're becoming accustomed to His voice. That's what He sounds like. That's why it's important to read the Word of God and study the Word of God. You're hearing the voice of God. Amen? Amen? Samuel didn't recognize. He thought it was Eli calling him because he hadn't yet learned the voice of the Lord. Now later on, he knew from that time on, he knew that's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's the Lord speaking. Amen. That's the Lord calling. Amen? Amen? That's how you become acquainted. You know, when you talk on the phone to someone, if it's the first time that you've talked to them, well, who is this, you know? But then after you, if you know that person, you've become acquainted with them, when they call, you know, of course now that's a bad illustration because we have caller ID for everything. And not only do we see their name, but their picture pops up on our phone. and all that stuff, you know. But anyway, you can, or if you're in another room and you hear someone, if it's a relative or someone you're close to, oh, that's so-and-so. I recognize their voice, mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Amen. We ought to be that way with God. Well, how do I recognize His voice? His voice is speaking through His written word. So that's the first step. Amen. So become familiar with the voice of God through His word. Amen. And then the next point is this. God speaks to us through our spirit. God speaks to us through our spirit. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. He's not a mind. He's a spirit. God speaks to us through our spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And then verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So we're led, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So God speaks to us by His Spirit through our spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Not your flesh, not your body. I just don't feel God. Well, sometimes you may feel Him. A lot of times you may not. God's not speaking. God doesn't communicate primarily through your feelings or through your body or through your soul, your emotions, your mind. He communicates to us primarily through our spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit Himself bears witness, not with our feelings, not with our body, not with our mind, but with our spirit, that we are children of God. This keeps popping up and keeps coming back and being relevant. So I want to mention it again today. That's why, because we were taught so beautifully and powerfully during when John Collier was with us for that week about the importance of praying in other tongues. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, when I pray in a tongue, he said, when I'm praying in tongues, he says, my spirit prays.
Amen.
My spirit prays.
Amen.
So when you're praying in other tongues, your number one thing you're doing is you're locating your spirit, because it's your spirit that's praying. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's where God's going to speak.
Amen.
Amen. So you become conscious of your spirit, more conscious of your spirit as you exercise your spirit. Well, one way to do that is by praying in other tongues. Not the only way, but a good way. It's by praying in other tongues. That makes you more sensitive to your own spirit, and that's where God's going to speak to you. The Spirit Himself, notice it says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. A lot of times the way God speaks is not with an audible voice. I can't tell you that I've ever heard the audible voice of God. But I have had Him bear witness over and over and over and over and over again, mm-hmm. in my life. I've had Him bear witness with my spirit.
Amen.
Just an impression, just a word, mm-hmm. you know, just a knowing.
Amen.
Just a knowing. Oh, okay. Right in there, in my spirit. He bears witness. He bears witness with our spirit. Bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. That's how you know you're saved.
Amen.
Amen. But that's not only, that doesn't stop there. That's also how you know what decision to make and what to do.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. I have that impression, that witness of the Spirit, that witness in my spirit. This is what I need to do.
Amen.
This is where I need to go. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, He bears witness with our spirit. So, it's not an audible voice. God can speak in an audible voice. And we're going to talk about different ways that He can speak to us. But the number one way, the primary way that God speaks to us is through our spirit. The Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit, speaking in our spirit. Amen. So that's what we really need to develop. We need to read. We need to read the Word of God so we're familiar with His voice. And He will never tell you anything that's contrary to the written Word of God. Amen. Well, I know the Bible says that, but this is what God spoke to me. Well, I know the Bible says that, and God said this to me, and it agrees with what the Bible said.
Amen.
Measure every leading Measure everything with the standard of the written word of God.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's look at this. This is interesting. This is talking about the prophet Elijah, and Elijah had this great victory over the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, and he had after that Jezebel had threatened his life, you know, and so he ran for his life, and he ran into the wilderness, and he thinks he's the only one left, and so he's getting discouraged. And 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, then he said, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And so Elijah's doing that. He stands on the mountain, and the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces. That's a powerful wind that'll break rocks in pieces, let me tell you. And broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Brother Hagin used to say quite often, he said, many times we miss the supernatural because we're looking for the spectacular. Now, don't misunderstand, God can move spectacularly, but He doesn't always. Sometimes His leading, oftentimes, many times His leading in our lives is not spectacular at all. And sometimes I think we do folks a disservice when we talk about, you know, and we bring up on the platform or we put on TV, you know, spectacular testimony, which are inspiring and wonderful and encouraging. But spectacular ways that God has spoken or spectacular things, you know. And of course, we want to promote that because we want people to say, hey, God can do this great thing.
Yeah, amen.
And that's all fine and good. But I think a lot of times we think, well, nothing spectacular like that's ever happened to me. Or God's never spoken to me in a spectacular way like that. Well, it doesn't mean that God's not leading you or God's not speaking to you, though.
Right.
Many times, oftentimes, it's a still, small voice. A still, small voice. Now, here's another thing, too. In order to hear that still, small voice, we have to get quiet enough to hear it, don't we? And boy, what a challenge that is in our day. What a challenge that is with all of our media. And all of the, you know, we just constantly have stuff coming into our ears and our eyes and entertainment and information and all of this coming in. And not all of it's bad. You know, I'm thankful that we can utilize a lot of that stuff. But it also oftentimes distracts us and keeps us from getting quiet enough to hear God. Amen? So let's make sure. Now, God can speak to you. It might be loud all around you. But we have to learn to get our mind quiet. Amen?
Amen.
One of the things that's important in that is learning to cast your cares on the Lord. Because your mind can be racing with all the things that you have to do, all your obligations and all your burdens, and what am I going to do about this and what's going to happen there. That's why it's important. That's why He said, cast all your care over on Him. Because He cares for you. Well, Lord, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to give that to You. And that helps. The Bible says the peace of God then will keep your heart and mind when you do that. Well, if the peace of God is keeping your heart and your mind, then your mind can be quiet enough for God to be able to speak to you. Amen?
Amen.
And say, all right, you need to do this about this situation. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it's hard to think straight and make a good decision when you're in a panic, isn't it? Amen?
Yes.
That's why God can... We have to get ourselves quiet enough to be able to hear that still, small voice. God speaking to us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And also, we need to point this out. Hearing God speak requires obedience. Notice He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Well, He had to be in that place for God to speak to Him. What if He had not gone there? Jesus, when he appeared to, at the time his name was Saul, later became Paul, when he appeared to him, you know, and Saul was on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him, knocked him off his horse, shining in his glory brighter than the noonday sun. That's pretty bright. He said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." And he said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "Rise and go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do." Well, what if he hadn't arisen and gone into the city? He would have missed God's next direction for his life, wouldn't he?
Yes.
Amen. So hearing God requires obedience. In order to hear what he wants us to do, we need to obey the last thing he told us to do. That's why some good advice I heard one time is, you know, if you feel like you've gotten off course with God, go back to the last thing that you know God said for you to do. Go back to that.
Amen.
And do that.
Amen.
Just reset. Thank God we can press the reset button with God. Thank God we can restore to the factory setting. Amen.
Amen.
When we need to. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the next thing we need to understand is this. God can speak to us through other people. He even spoke to a prophet through a donkey one time, didn't he? Amen. He can speak to us through other people. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." What is that? That's human beings speaking what God says.
Yes.
That's prophecy is in its simplest form is saying what God is saying. Amen. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Well, that's God speaking to us through people then, isn't it? "Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Praise God. Saying what God is saying. Amen. So God can speak to us through other people. They can, and sometimes they don't even know they're being inspired by God to speak to us. Amen? Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen. But again, what's the standard? It needs to agree with the Word of God. And just because someone says they're speaking for God does not necessarily mean that they are. That's why the Bible tells us to judge prophecy, to judge these things. Judge it on, number one, judge it on the standard of God's written Word. And number two, judge it on the standard of, okay, is God dealing with me about that? Again, I go back to Brother Hagin. You know, his ministry began to take off. He pastored for 12 years. And then after that, he went into traveling ministry. And that was in the late 40s. And that was the time of the healing revival. There was an explosion of divine healing ministries in this nation. 1947 to 1958 was the healing revival. And so that time of that outpouring of God gave rise to Oral Roberts' ministry and many other prominent ministers. And Oral Roberts had a tent that would seat like 20,000 people back in that time. This is before he built the university and all of that. And so many ministers had tents. They would travel around the country, put up a tent that would hold 1,000 or 2,000 or, you know, again, at some, you know, the largest ministries like Brother Roberts had 20,000, a tent that would hold, that's a big tent, isn't it? It would hold 20, you know, you drive down to Atlanta and there's the Cirque du Soleil tents are setting up there at Atlantic Station. Those are big, but they don't hold 20,000 people. Anyway, everywhere Brother Hagin was not led to get a tent. The Lord told him, stay in the churches. Your ministry is in the churches. And he would go and have meetings in the churches and he would begin teaching faith at that time. He said, the Lord said, I want you to go teach my people faith. They would get a miracle and a healing in the meeting, and then they'd come to Brother Hagin's meetings and learn how to keep their healing, learn how to walk in healing and victory. Praise God. That's what he was supposed to do. But everywhere, he said, everywhere I went, he said, every city, every meeting, somebody would prophesy to me, yeah, the Lord says, thou shalt get a tent. He said, I just ignored it. Why? Because God told him otherwise. So just because someone says they're speaking for God does not necessarily mean that they are. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
But God can use other people to speak to us. Number one, to confirm what he's already speaking to our hearts. Either we were not sure, or maybe we didn't exactly like what God was saying, and we're trying to ignore it. I know nobody's ever been in that place but me, but you ever been there? Mm-hmm. God may have to use somebody else to confirm, hey, look, this is me. I've been dealing with you about this. And they come along and they confirm that. You know, I believe the Lord is saying this, you know. Amen? Praise God. So again, look at 1 John chapter 2. This is so important in our day. To recognize and listen to God's voice. Why? So that we'll not be deceived.
Amen.
So that we'll not be deceived. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 26. He says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Do you know there are people that are out there, they were there in John's day and they're here in this day and they're trying to deceive you. Now, some of them don't know that. Some of them don't know they're deceived themselves. They don't know they're trying to deceive others, but they are. And he says, these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing, so number one thing, he said, I've written to you some things. So the written word of God keeps us from deception, right? Mm-hmm. Huh? If we know what the word says, the written word, and we stay based on the written word of God, and he says this, though, he says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. Now, again, he's not... You have to interpret Scripture in the light of other Scripture. It doesn't mean that you get up and walk out the door. Now, what are you doing? You're teaching us, Pastor. We don't need that anymore. That's not what he's saying. He doesn't need anyone to come over to you and say, listen, you can't know God for yourself. If you're going to know God, I got to tell you everything there is to know about God. No Christian needs that. You have the Holy Spirit. I'm not here to tell you everything that you need to know about God. I'm here to reinforce what he's already saying to you, what you're already getting, hopefully, in your own study and pursuit of God.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
He says, you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. He says, you've got an anointing on the inside of you. You've got an anointing. That's the Holy Spirit. You've received the Holy Spirit. He lives in you and he teaches you. That's God speaking to you. That's where he's going to speak to you. Amen.
Amen.
And if we follow that anointing, if we follow the Holy Spirit speaking to us on the inside, we will not be deceived. Amen.
Amen.
We'll not be deceived by false doctrine. We'll not be deceived into making wrong and bad decisions. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for that anointing. That's the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Back here in Acts chapter 2 again, in verse 17, I think it is. God, another way that God speaks, verse 17, your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. God can speak to us through visions and dreams. Now again, the number one way that he speaks to us is through his word and by the witness of the Holy Spirit. That's common. That should be every day. Less common, more on the spectacular side, but still a way that God speaks. And a way that we need to understand that he speaks and be open to him speaking to us is through visions and dreams. Amen. Has anybody ever had a vision or a dream that God spoke to you? A lot of you have. A lot of you. Amen. Well, he can do that. Now, don't go seeking a vision. Don't go and pray and say, all right, Lord, I want a vision and I want one right now. I'll tell you who will accommodate you if you start seeking that. It won't be the Lord. It'll be the devil. Amen. So we don't seek it. We don't seek experiences. We seek to know God and to follow God and to know his will.
Amen.
Not just for the sake of the experience. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. But he can speak to us through visions and through dreams. I've had God speak to me. I've shared with you recently, about 3 months ago, not quite 3 months ago now, I had a dream about Jesus. I never had dreamed about Jesus before, not in this way. And it was very powerful, and it was very profound, and it was very real. I've had God a few other times in my life, not many, but a few where I can say, I don't believe every dream that you dream at night is God inspired. I think you just can have too much pizza, you know, or be too excited about a football game that was played the night before, and dream some funny dreams. Mm-hmm. I dreamed last night that Wesley and I were trying to navigate down the road where there were cars on in a red wagon. And I don't think that was inspired of God. I can't, you know, you may have the interpretation of that dream, but I think it was just a silly dream.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have silly dreams, but then there are times where God can speak to us. And God does speak to us. Think about the birth of Jesus. God spoke to Joseph in a dream, didn't he?
Amen. Amen.
God spoke in dreams, and he looked throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament and the New. God speaks to people through dreams. He says he would do it when he poured out his spirit. He said, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. I guess I'm qualifying or classifying myself now by admitting that I'm having dreams. Yeah. My friend, Brother Randy Greer, says he just calls it a night vision. So, amen. But God can speak to you. Amen. He can speak to you. He can warn you. He can comfort you. I had a dream one time about one of Robin's family members, and we knew that family member, I woke up from that dream, and we knew that family member was in danger, and we prayed for them, and found out later that indeed they were, and that the Lord rescued them and protected them.
Amen.
Amen. God showed me that in a dream.
Amen.
He can show you things. Amen. He can speak to you. Praise God. So be open to it.
Amen.
Be open to God speaking. Praise God.
Amen.
The final thing is this. God speaks to us. We need to know this. God speaks to us when He chooses, not necessarily when we want Him to. The Bible tells us that God had called Moses to come up to the mountain, that He was going to speak to him and show him some things. And the Bible says that Moses climbed up that mountain, and he waited 6 days. He sat there for 6 days, and God's nowhere around. God's not speaking. He waited 6 days, and finally on the seventh day, God spoke. I wonder how many of us would have still been there, or we'd have gone back down the mountain. I can give this up. You said come up here, and you know, I've been here for 45 minutes now, Lord. He waited 6 days. Finally, the seventh day, God spoke. You know, I've had that, not exactly like that, certainly, but I've been praying about things, and I would pray, and decisions I needed to make or things, you know, that I needed answers, I needed to hear from God, and I would pray about it, and I would pray, and then I would go about my business, and it might be days later or whatever, and I might be standing, you know, at the sink, at the bathroom sink, getting ready for the day, or taking a shower, or driving down the road, and all of a sudden the answer would come.
Amen.
Not when I was necessarily praying about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why does God do that? I don't know. But just be open. Just know that a lot of times He will not answer you necessarily when you want Him to, but when He gets ready to speak.
Amen.
He knows. Amen. He knows when we need to hear Him. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And again, a lot of times we miss hearing Him because we're too busy. Let's make sure we don't get too busy. And let's make sure we have this attitude like Samuel had. Speak, Lord, I'm your servant, ready to listen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's just stand up and just worship Him.